Hi-Fi Dream, the deep dive, a fresh hour of the show. We just wrapped up two fantastic kind of indie shoegazy vibe songs. The song by Ariel, not the mermaid, is called Flashlight Tag. And then before that was Daywave, Wasting Time. I feel like they're very they complement each other very well, those two songs, dude.
Definitely.
What'd you think?
Yeah, it's similar melodies, but I think we go a little bit, like you say, that we go a little bit more shoegazy and more of the airy space, and it is Ariel, A-I-R-I-E-L, so it is Ariel. So
Ariel, yes.
I liked Ariel a lot, and the first thing I heard vocally was the voice of Neil Tennant from Pet Shop Boys.
Which, by the way, blew me away because I've never noticed that before. And now it's like, holy cow.
You can't unlisten. You can't unhear that. In the way he articulates and kind of speaks things, his singing style is more on the speaking side than the singing side, which is very characteristic, I think, and interesting. And it goes well in contrast to the ringing and the washy... I don't know, the shoegaze effects in the background. I think it's a nice juxtaposition, if I use that word a lot. But
no, you're right, though. It does. It is.
And also his pacing is off the beat. Like, it's not on the beat because it's a pretty fast beat. But he sings kind of like across, you know, independent of the beat. And so that's what makes it, I think, very more relaxing and not so... hyper, even though it's a pretty fast song.
It's funny because I could probably do shows where I only focus on different times of my life, different eras, if you will, of what I was listening to. And when I was in Minus Chris in the early 2000s, I was listening to a lot of stuff that was going around us, like bands that we played with and bands that were just breaking and like all that stuff. So I had a really good tap into the underground music scene of New York City at that time and even other regions. But this band was presented to me by my ex-girlfriend at that time, Laura, who was really became a music head, much like myself. But she was in our band for a little while.
Oh.
And she used to always tell us to listen to this group that she found on like whatever internet station. And it wasn't just Ariel at the time. I think it was like Ariel Love Feed or
yes.
Ariel something else, whatever.
That was their first band, yeah.
Yeah. Was it Ariel Love Feed?
It was called Ariel, where is it? Ariel Project One.
All right. So she was trying to tell us to listen. And I guess it was at that time, like she was out of the band and I was kind of like, we had broken up. So I wasn't really excited to go and listen to what she's telling me to listen to, if you know what I mean.
Sure.
But years later, I found them and I went back and told her. I was like, you were right. This band is so good. But it's sort of like a different... in reincarnation of the band, but it's of the name, but not so much the sound. It was definitely more shoegaze back in the day, and
yes.
It became a little bit more evolved, but so good. And I love that there's this element to their music that's very like personal stories. Like he's telling you of his situation with whatever woman or man. You could hear that he's lived through it. And I'm like that when I write music. I believe, at least, that you could tell that I was going through something or dealing with something when I made it, because it comes through in the emotion, you know? And that's what he seems to gather with his voice and his delivery. He kind of makes me understand that I believe him. I believe he dealt with this and he's feeling this. It's not just sang. Yeah, so that's a very powerful set of music, a little up-tempo. Now we're going to kind of go back. These are all bands. Let me go back. I started my point about different regions and times of my life.
Yeah.
This is all coming from around the same time in my life, these last two sets of music.
Okay.
The Cure is my choice in here, but even Mogwai, these kind of come from around the same time for me where I was really into this sound. So tell me about your choice, Mogwai. This is from their new album, and it's so interesting, and I'm excited to play it.
This is part of my journey here on the deep dive in learning music that I otherwise probably never would have touched. And this also is feeding from the shoegaze conversation that we keep having, Mogwai, who we talk, I chose a song from them back in show 24 called Richie Sacramento, which I completely fell in love with and overdosed on it. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking about it, their sound, the way they created a three-dimensional space in my head with all of their effects and their guitars and
layers,
the layers that I could actually see the sound waves like coming at me on different levels in three dimensions, which was amazing. I'd never really listened to music that way and never tried to before until Mogwai taught me this. And I don't think I hear this very often to date. So I was so excited when this popped up in my feed, like there's a new release, a new album, a whole album from Mogwai. And as we discussed before, they don't all have lyrics, their music. It's mostly instrumental.
Maybe one song every album has lyrics.
Yeah. So I think on this album, there's two or three songs that have lyrics. So I was super excited to try to bring one song to this show. And it took me a while to pick one, actually. I liked all of them with the lyrics. So this one, 18 Volcanoes, brand new. I think it feels a lot like Richie Sacramento in the way they structured it and the way they're singing.
I agree, yeah.
Kind of gentle, mesmerizing cacophony.
yep, very good word.
But I know it's all done in a studio. It doesn't sound like it's done in a studio. It sounds like you're there in this space. So
perfect, perfectly said. Is the song God Gets You Back? Is that the name of the song I'm thinking of?
That's another one, yeah.
Yeah, that was the first song off this album I heard, and I was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
Dude, there's so much music to go back and listen to from them. But if you're into like epic instrumental, kind of visually instrumental music, like Explosions in the Sky is probably the most popular of the most recent bands that do it. But there's Godspeed You Black Emperor, also very good at this like kind of post-rock, post-hardcore instrumental sound. But the songs are so epic, it's almost like a soundtrack.
Right.
You almost imagine them. And now Mogwai is doing soundtracks, which makes total sense.
Yeah.
Because their sound lends to that. It's very descript with no vocals. But I love his voice, and sometimes I wish he would sing more. So hearing this song, I bought the record the day it came out, and I haven't yet, because I have to be in the right mindset. This is not like, you know, do house chores and listen music.
Yeah.
You have to be intentionally there with it.
It's an investment, for sure.
Like you said, it's so much going on. There's layers, and there's storylines you'll miss if you're walking with, because there's no vocals to carry you through. You don't have the closed captioning. You have to listen. So, and then the movie will then be in your mind. They are creating a script for you to listen to, and you'll have the whole picture without words. That's amazing to me. But they do kind of give you words every now and then. In this song, they prove that they could do it more and it would be great. Because this is fantastic. And now, because of this song and you playing it on this show, I am going to listen to this record this weekend. It's going to be A Glass of Wine and The Bad Fire by Mogwai as my listening session.
Yeah, I think I might get that album as well, because it is, like you say, something that you really have to sit there and listen and dedicate the time. But I think you will be rewarded for sure.
100%.
Yeah.
I follow it with a pop song from The Cure, which is weird because the album that it was supposed to be on, Wish, is my favorite Cure album of all time. Also the album that probably shaped me the most in my life. And this song was supposed to be there, but it didn't get on because it was too poppy.
Oh.
And they chose Friday I'm in Love somehow, which they thought wasn't too poppy. It makes me a little question, because this is better than Friday I'm in Love. But how can I question it? That was a massive hit.
Right.
But this song is a love song. And I told you in my notes that I used to make mixtapes for girls or that I was like courting, or, you know, that I was trying to like,
who
you
didn't?
Know, and mix CDs. We've discussed this many times, but this song was on many a mixtape because it's just such a beautiful love song. And anytime anybody hears it, they've never really heard it before most times.
Right.
Unless you're a Cure head, and you don't realize how good it is. And it could have been it would have been a radio hit, I think. It could have been like Love Song or just like Heaven Big, because it's so different. And you talk about descriptive and adjectives. Listen to how he compares the love with his lyrics in this song, how he explains the love of her. It's so good. And I'm telling you, listen to every word and you'll be blown away.
I had never heard this song before, too, so I'm excited to talk about it after we...
Okay, so let's play the songs. Volcano, 18 Volcanoes by Mogwai. You say Mogwai because it's the proper way.
Cantonese.
They say it that way, so that's why I say it the way they say it.
That's fair.
They're also Scottish. What do they know? And then The Cure, follow it with Halo. If you're a Cure fan or you like them and you've never heard this song, you'll thank me later. Let's do it. You ready, dude?
Let's go.
Let's go.
Dreams Deep Dive.
Dreams Deep Dive. We come out of The Cure's Halo. That was a B-side from back in the Wish days. I may have been the B-side of High, the song High, but it could have been Friday I'm in Love. I'm not sure. But anyway, before that was Mogwai, as you say, Mogwai, I say, but I'm sure you're saying it right. 18 Volcanoes is that song. It just came out this year. Unbelievable song, by the way, that track. The Cure, we were both talking about it should have been a hit, could have been a hit for them in 1992. What did you think?
It's got all the elements of The Cure that I can think of, like in my very limited capacity of what I know about The Cure and what I've heard. I hear so many things. It's like, yeah, that's The Cure. And it all comes together in this very tight song. And if you hadn't told me, I would have assumed this was a hit, a song that got played on the radio that was part of a released album that I just don't have. And that's what it sounded like to me. And it was great. But you pointing it out is like, this is a B-side, never got released, and it it never got as popular as it could have been because it was like overshadowed by Friday and I'm in Love. It all makes sense. But it's tragic because it's a great song, but I think it's a nice little gem to have, right, in your pocket. And what I liked about it was the many, many different, kind of like Mogwai has all these layers. This, in a way, this has layers of The Cure, meaning all lots of different between the vocals, lots of different guitar melodies kind of peppered throughout the measures. And that, to me, if you can listen to it intently, you'll hear them. And if you're not a big like Cure fan, like I'm not necessarily a huge fan of The Cure, I do like their music, but to me, to the uninitiated, it's a song that you kind of want to listen to a little bit more intently. Otherwise, you'll just say, oh, yeah, that's a Cure song.
And a lot of Cure heads might tell you that, like, this is too poppy. It's too straight ahead. But I kind of like that about it because there's plenty of the other stuff from them. I feel like they mastered being playful with songs like Love Cats and Close to Me and Why Can't I Be You. They were very playful songs because they had to sort of separate the stuff that was so heavy and brooding and dark with these kind of brighter moments, subsidized, if you will. But I'm going to make a quick point about this, and then I'm going to move on because I don't want to get geek out too much on this with The Cure. But that album was the one for me that changed my life, right? So Wish is so important to me. It's like a diary, and I try not to revisit it too much because it sometimes can be too much, you know, just because it brings all these things back to my head that I'm like, you know, kind of embarrassed about. But you know, I was a kid, so I was like 16 listening to these, and I had a girlfriend, and I was like, you know, oh, I'm so like depressed. But the bottom line is there was two songs on the High single, the High cassette single, which was released as the first single before Friday I'm in Love, and it was such a good single. And the song on the flip side was called This Twilight Garden, and then the song after that was called Play. Both of these songs are amongst the best Cure songs ever written, that I named my band, my first band, Twilight Garden, after that B-side. And I still think it's the most underrated song in the Cure's catalog, and no reason it shouldn't have been on the album. It was perfect, perfect song. But it's a B-side, and I was like, I'm never going to put it on the show. It's too important to me. And so I chose this song instead because this was on one of the other singles, cassette singles or CD singles at the time. Was sort of like, why are these songs so good? Like, how did they write these amazing throwaway songs that would have been like radio hits for other bands? But for them, they didn't even make the cut for this album, you know?
Interesting, yeah.
But I mean, those two songs, This Twilight Garden and Play, are better versions of Halo, but they're that level good. So just wanted to say that before I moved on.
Well, I think what's interesting is for you, Wish being kind of a dark album, right, in theme, and kind of filling this emotional, I don't know, state for you, and having a place for you to go emotionally when you listen to it. Then you have a song. If you had a song like Halo there, it's kind of upbeat and positive, right? It's a love song, you say, and it doesn't fit. Like maybe the album wouldn't feel the same to you.
That's accurate. I mean, I guess. I mean, but now I think of all these songs that were part of those sessions as like part of that album, or at least that part of my life. But I almost am glad that I had those extra songs years later, like 3-4 years later, I went back to really appreciate some of the B-sides. They eventually put out this box set in the early 2000s, Join the Dots, which had 4 discs, and it was like everything they put out as their B-sides and bonus songs. So that was really cool because now it has like a place as a proper album, if you will, in the different eras of The Cure, which were very different, by the way. So
that must have been felt very like a gift when you buy a cassette single,
yes,
for a song that's on the front side,
or a maxi single, as you know,
right? But the fact that, you know, back then on a cassette you had to rewind it if you wanted to hear that one song again.
That's right.
But because if there's a good song on the B-side, yeah, you just flip it over and you listen to that. So you got like a treat, I guess. Yes.
And then, right? Some of them, they would do the same song they'll do two songs on side A, you flip it over, it was the same two songs like repeated on the second side. Remember that?
Yeah, that was kind of a jip to me. Like, yeah, give me something different.
Exactly. And then on 45, you'd only get the two songs, but on CD, you had maxi singles. So you get the single, the radio version, the instrumental, and like maybe another song.
The remix, it's right?
Cool. The 12-inch version, yeah. So last two songs of the show. I was surprised at this pick. I really, really was. So talk about Julian Casablancas, a rich kid who ended up making it with the Strokes.
Yeah, so I didn't really know that when I chose the song. I chose it because I liked the sound of it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Julian Casablancas, the name came up because previously I was talking about buying, I just bought the Daft Punk's Random Access Memories album. And there's so many collaborators on that album, including Julian Casablancas. And it was just a name to me when I read that. I didn't really know who he was. And so digging further, seeing that he was the lead singer from The Strokes, I didn't really know much of their music either, but I knew they were kind of a rock pop band. And this song, though, The 11th Dimension, really jumped out at me as a kind of an anthemic electronic dance song with a lot of transitions and like the energy from one state of the song to another, it changes and it keeps changing. Kind of like that Kimbra song that we liked last year, how it just changes gears and it's not trying to be any one thing. It kind of breaks genres, I feel like.
Cameo Lover, that was
yes,
a good song.
Cameo Lover. And it's got a little bit of this and a little bit of that's like a variety thing, but energy that just keeps changing. That's how this song feels to me. And it's fun. It's danceable.
Definitely so, poppier than I expected.
Oh, for sure.
Dancy.
I mean, at the end of the day, Pop is my middle name.
Are you a Strokes? You never got into the Strokes, right?
I can't even name a Strokes song. I'm sure there's one that I've heard, but I don't know.
Yeah, you're lucky. But I mean, they were a good band. Ouch. Don't get me wrong. And there was a need for that type of music at that time because we had the Backstreet Boys and all this stuff happening. It was Eminem. It was just there was no real alternative or rock. And they kind of they became the it band for a long while there. But I mean, they were in our scene. I grew up in, you know, the New York area. So they were a New York City band. All rich kids. Their dads were all famous and rich. And they started their like, you know, private school kind of. You know, and what would you say, like anti everything kind right. of, you know, bratty kids,
anti-establishment.
And it was good. And I mean, I get it. I just, like I said in my notes, I disassociated at the time because they were just too flavor of the month for me. But there's songs I liked, and then I liked some of his solo stuff, and I did like the song with Daft Punk. I actually play that on Instant Crush. I play that on Hi-Fi.
Yeah.
But yes, his voice can get to me sometimes. It could be a little bit like wearing, if you will, or grating. He's kind of lazy with his voice. But this was nice. I thought this was a pop song. And I like you, I enjoy good pop songs. And I'm glad you included it because it allows me to know that there are songs out there, even by bands like The Strokes or Julian Casablancas, that I like, you know? So exactly. There's something to be said for that, you know?
Definitely. Yep, agreed.
So this is 11th Dimension, and then we'll follow it with a band called, well, it's an artist, 10tricks.never. It's a weird name, 10tricks.never. I Don't Love Me Anymore, which we listened to a little. What did you think of this?
I think it's an interesting mix of stuff with what I would call a lot of experimental sounds and samples. And the one thing that sticks out that you'll notice when we hear this is the use of the idea of something being played in reverse, but note for note. So it's like a bunch of reverse notes. Mm-hmm. Even though they're not really in reverse, there's this feeling of reversal, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
Actually, so that's shocking that I never picked up on that, but I know what you mean.
That's what stands out to me about this song. And,
this is a version. I'm not sure if I find the right version. If I the one I'm playing on Hi-Fi Dream is a little different than this. Similar length, probably about 2.5-3 minutes. But there's more going on in the version you put in here that you were playing as we listened to the music offline. So I'm not sure which one's going to end up on the show. But I was surprised to hear it be different because I had never heard this particular version that you and I were listening to. Prior to, so we'll see what this kind of turns out to be when I put the show together.
I'm glad you pronounced it for me because there's no way I would have figured out how to pronounce this.
Yeah, One O Tricks is O-N-E-O-H-T-R-I-X, like One O Tricks, one word, point, never. Weird name. But this dude, as I should mention real quick since we have an extra minute, he produces a lot of artists and does like, what do they call that? Performance art and music production, but he does stuff for The Weeknd, Charlie XCX, FKA Twigs. Like, he's really kind of outlandish, creative, performance artists, if you will. He's the guy who kind of helps them shape their sound and their look and their whatever. So you could tell he's a little out there.
Yeah.
And the song is going to bug people out, I think, but just stay with the melody and the prettiness of it if you can, and don't get caught up in the weirdness of the sounds, and you'll be okay.
Good warning.
Great work today, dude. You and I are going to, I'm going to tell people next week we're doing a show of all covers, and I think people are going to love it.
Yes.
So the reason I'm mentioning it is because I think people will make an appointment to come back and listen, because I know people like covers, especially when they're eclectic and cool and different. And we chose some really good ones for you next week.
Yeah, super excited. Covers are part of my history, and we'll talk about that.
Well, we're going to bring back, we're bringing the Walrus back for this particular show. And we'll talk about it next week. So thanks so much, brother. Great work. As I said, the last two songs here, Julian Casablancas, 11th Dimension, followed by One O Tricks, Point Never, I Don't Love Me Anymore. And we'll continue and finish out the deep dive. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, Hi-Fi Dreams Deep Dive.